The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Listen to this. I have seen children starve themselves, cut themselves, hit themselves. I've seen children with tics so severe they can't eat or sleep. I've seen toddlers scream in terror at the sight of strangers. And I've seen children go from chatterboxes to utterly mute. Those are the words of Dr. Niamh Lynch, consultant paediatrician at the Bon Secours Hospital in Cork, on Twitter during the week. And Dr. Lynch joins me now. Niamh, good morning.
Good morning, Brendan, from sunny Cork.
Stop rubbing my nose in it. Niamh, you wrote a long thread about some of the, I suppose, physical, emotional, psychological damage you've come across kids in the last year. And I think for various reasons, I think we're the focus is coming back on kids now. Tell me about some of the stuff you've seen.
Well, I suppose that part of the thread that I put up probably sums it up. I'm on a couple of weeks off and I've had a bit of time to reflect on the last year. A lot of us haven't had the opportunity to take time off. So I was just sitting down thinking about all of the things that I've seen. And, you know, the patterns of illness in children have been very unusual this past year. So thankfully, the burden of illness, like viral illnesses, has been very low. So children who have asthma, for example, haven't gotten very sick with various viral infections. Babies have been protected from a thing called RSV, which causes bronchiolitis. And in fact, a study done by my colleagues in Dublin showed that acute admissions with illness for children has decreased significantly. But in this study, it shows that mental health presentations have skyrocketed. And one of the things that stood out for me in that paper was that comparing December 2019 to December 2020, the mental health presentation was 130% higher year on year. So that's a really shocking statistic, and that's the data. And I suppose what I'm giving you is anecdote in terms of what I'm seeing, and what I see very much reflects that. So what I'm seeing is children who have, I suppose, physical symptoms of anxiety, so tummy pain, headaches, dizziness, strange symptoms like that, that we can't find a medical cause for. Mm. And when we investigate them carefully, we find nothing physical as such, but because of the stress that they're under, they are manifesting with physical symptoms.
Yeah, you said as well, I've seen the light go out in children's eyes as schools close, camps get cancelled, promises made by parents broken over and over again. But you say, how many times can we trample on the dreams of children before it starts to change the kind of people they will become? Do you think this is could affect them permanently? Because we keep hearing like, they're more resilient than we think.
I think it's a bit of a myth that children are resilient. They show their stress in different ways to how adults show their stress. And I think certainly what I've seen and heard with children is that they are experiencing large amounts of stress. Now, quite a few children have actually done fairly well with lockdown, the sort of quieter kids who like being at home and enjoy homeschooling.
Yeah.
But the majority of kids have found it extremely hard. And I'll just give you a little example, I suppose. I love chatting to my patients. You know, children are very unfiltered and very honest. And I was chatting to a little fella there a couple of weeks ago. He's about 9, and I asked him, you know, what he thought of the pandemic. And you're familiar with Cork phraseology. I tell you, the air turned blue with his opinion of, you know, how life had gone for him in the past year. Children are experiencing huge frustration, but unfortunately, they don't have the kind of voice and the kind of representation that adults have. So I suppose that's part of the reason that I'm talking to you and talking to other people about this.
Is to give them a voice. And you kind of think it's not related to the pandemic as such, that it's our response to the pandemic. And you think that adults have constantly kind of put ourselves first in all of this.
Look, I can see both sides. I can understand why businesses, hospitality, things like that are under pressure to open up. I understand that, and it's important for our economy. And, you know, I'm not here to, I suppose, bash the decisions that have been made so far. But if you look across the sort of the view of how people have been prioritised in this pandemic, you know, very reasonably and early on, the elderly were prioritised because they were so vulnerable. And now the focus is on getting the economy back up and running. But unfortunately, COVID-19 doesn't really care about the economy or about how tired we are of it. It keeps evolving. It just wants to go from host to host. It's a package of protein. It doesn't really care if we're tired of it or not. And just at this point in time where we're considering reopening indoor hospitality, our numbers have doubled in a week. So I'm a little bit concerned about that. But what I really think is that, you know, if we're going to permit indoor dining, then we have to make sure that it's safe and look at all the measures like adequate ventilation, CO2 monitors and stuff like that. And then if we could open indoor dining safely, then we could say, right, we're set for opening the schools.
Yeah, but you're concerned about the schools not opening,
yeah,
are you?
I'm really, really worried about it, Brendan, to be honest with you, because, you know, if we don't do the indoor dining properly, then we will have a spike in numbers. And if we have a further spike in numbers, then, in general, one of the first responses is for, you know, people to turn around and say, oh, you know, the schools aren't safe. You know, I would hope that at this point, you know, six or seven weeks out from schools reopening, that, you know, that schools are absolutely crawling with people who are assessing their buildings, you know, installing CO2 monitors, making sure they have adequate ventilation.
Okay.
I'm not seeing much evidence of that.
Yeah,
but,
so we need to prioritise that.
100%.
Yeah, okay, listen, I'm late for the Angelus. Just can you give me this in a nutshell, if you don't mind, Eve? Are young children at much risk from COVID at this point?
Young children will be our most vulnerable population because there are a million children in this country and they will be the largest group of unvaccinated
people. But are they going to get sick?
Approximately 12% of children who get COVID-19 end up being hospitalised.
Okay, so we have to be really careful around that. All right, listen, Niamh, I'll talk to you again. I'm sorry we're under time pressure now. Niamh Lynch, consultant paediatrician at the Bon Secours Hospital in Cork. Thank you very much.